In Egypt today, crowds converged on Cairo's Tahrir Square to celebrate last week's ouster of President Hosni Mubarak and to honor the more than 300 people killed during the uprising. Life isn't quite back to normal in Egypt, with banks and the stock market still closed and widespread labor strikes, including at least 1,500 employees with the Suez Canal Authority who want better pay and housing. The young protesters from Egypt have inspired people to take to the streets throughout the Middle East, demanding an end to authoritarian regimes. But they're also inspiring young people in high school history classes across the U.S., including in Greg Kulowick's class at Plymouth South High School in Plymouth, Massachusetts. He and his students have been watching the events unfold in the Middle East. He joins us on the line with one of his students, ninth grader Brianna Sacchetti. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hi.
And Greg, we understand that you scrapped your planned lesson on the French Revolution when the protests broke out in Egypt. What did you do instead?
We had been studying the French Revolution, and I planned on a traditional project where we would just examine that one historical event. And as we were kind of wrapping things up, getting towards the end of it, Tunisia broke out, and then I kind of watched things unfold on the 25th and 26th. And I figured I can't afford not to cover this and expose my students to this, so I decided we would examine the Egyptian protests as they unfolded and compare it in four stages that all revolutions tend to go through.
And Brianna, how did the class keep track of what was happening in Egypt?
Well, Ms. Kulowick would update us day to day on what was happening. So any day something happened, he would find a video online and show us.
Greg, I remember some of those videos online, and some of them were pretty scary, dangerous demonstrations. You weren't really sure where it was going to go. How did you decide what to show the students?
What I tended to pull from was newsreels that had already been pulled together. So one of the resources I went to right away was from Brown University. They have their Choices program. They put together a nice package of videos from a professor at the university. But we also, at one point, when they expected Mubarak's resignation, I was streaming Al Jazeera into the classroom so they could see the protests and see the protesters there as they were awaiting that announcement.
And I understand your students also made videos. We'll have some of those at our website, hereandnow.org. But let's listen to a clip. This is of student Anthony Shenna.
In Egypt, Mubarak had been president for 30 years. With no jobs, most people living on $2 a day, extreme differences in rich and poor, 50% of people under the poverty line, the people needed change. After Tunisia had their revolt, it sparked Egypt and set them going.
So, Brianna, tell us what you learned about Egypt.
We learned how Mubarak had been in power for 30 years, and he kept running for election. We learned how the people were getting fed up and how they were in debt, and most of his people were underneath the poverty line and struggling to survive day to day. We also learned about, eventually, when the protests began, how the army had joined up with the people and started to protect them while the police were causing all the violence.
Brianna, Egypt seems light years away from Plymouth, Massachusetts, but did you feel a connection with the young people in Egypt as you watched what was happening?
Yes, I feel like because the protests were mostly a younger percent of the population in Egypt, I felt like I could actually put myself in that position and think, okay, my president has been in power for 30 years and I'm still struggling. I'm losing my jobs. I have a college education. What am I to do here? I can really see why they're doing what they're doing and what's happening and understand it and make those connections because of where I am.
And Greg, social media tools like Facebook and Twitter helped bring about this whole revolution. How did you use social media in the classroom to keep an eye on the protests?
At one point, to really send home the message of how social media was being used to get this thing going, I pulled up my Twitter account and did a search for hashtag Jan25, which is what people were using to communicate information. And within 15 seconds, 20 new messages pop up. And then we let it sit for a minute, and there's 100 new messages popping up. And we could read those messages of, you know, people reporting what was going on.
And Brianna, did that surprise you to see how much activity there was on Twitter over this?
Yeah, it really amazed me how in 20 seconds, 20 new videos would be up and how fast people were just getting on this information. So it really amazed me how fast this revolution was happening because of social media.
Greg, that really must make you feel good to hear that the lesson hit home for Brianna and probably other students. But as we mentioned, you were trying to compare this to the French Revolution and you were trying to squeeze in there some of that information. What are some of the biggest similarities and differences that your students noticed between the French Revolution and the Egyptian Revolution?
When it started to come together with them is when we kind of examined how there tends to be four common steps within any revolution. So we covered the underlying causes in this incubation stage. And they noticed that the issues were economic issues and lack of resources and lack of jobs and kind of frustration with the leadership or the administration. When we moved on to the moderate stage, they started to see, you know, people gathering into here square is similar to the revolutionaries taking the tennis court oath. And then people trying to be nonviolent is similar to the revolutionaries in France sitting down and kind of outlining their initial constitution. The most interesting thing is they kept asking, you know, is Egypt going to go radical like the Reign of Terror in France? Really good discussion started to come up about, you know, why is Egypt maybe avoiding that radical stage and why did France go through that radical stage? And a lot of the kids tended to come back to it has to do something with the technology and social media. It's been all of 3 or 4 weeks and a world leader has stepped down. You compare that to France and it took 3 years before France got radical. So they got to see something unfold so quickly and compare it to a historical event and the connections were there. They were easy to pull out.
You mentioned the Reign of Terror after the French Revolution that led to 40,000 people being killed. Now in Egypt, the military is running things. And Brianna, I'm wondering if you're concerned about what that means for the future of Egypt.
I feel like it means that they might start to head to a radical phase, but they've taken steps so that they can prevent that. They've put the army in charge and said there will be a new election soon. They've controlled what's going on, and even though they still have people protesting, they've really tried to keep the situation calm. So I feel like the army trying to take control and put a group in charge is probably the best choice, since the people trust the army more for staying alongside with them.
And Greg, what do you hope your students will ultimately get out of these lessons in the long run?
I just want them to be interested and be lifelong learners. It's so inspiring when Mubarak's about to make his speech and the bell rings in class and none of my students get up to leave because they want to see his speech live as it's streaming, you know, from Egypt. And I have students coming in the next day saying, you know, I watched the news last night, or I actually looked at the newspaper and read about an article, or, you know, at dinner I sat down with my parents and I taught them what was going on. We often as educators get caught up in what we have to teach and what we have to cover. And oftentimes when you have an opportunity like this to inspire students and get them interested in world politics and history and kind of like what's happening right now around them. And I really feel like these positive experiences will not only make the history stick, like the French Revolution history, but it'll make them just, you know, better global citizens and they'll be kind of aware of the world around them.
Greg Kulawick is a world history teacher at Plymouth South High School in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Brianna Sacchetti is one of his ninth grade students. As Greg mentioned, he used the Choices curriculum developed at Brown University. You can read about the curriculum and see some of the video projects the students created by going to hereandnow.org. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.